I want to not tell you what I'm about to say, and then we'll look at it together. So there's a scripture, there's a verse in the Bible that it's got three parts to it. And let me just share it with you a little bit. The very first part, it says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. It's a great verse. It's almost like a sword drill. Let's see who can find that. You know, I'm going to Google that now. But take heart, I have overcome the world. That's the third part of it. So it starts with, in me you have peace, and take heart, I've overcome the world. Those are great things. I'm like, I like this verse. But what you don't know that's crammed right in the middle there, this is Jesus. This is great teaching. I mean, we do this in school. We do this when we're counseling people, good stuff, and then we give them the hard stuff, and then we give them the good stuff, right? It's a sandwich. We got to do that. It's very important. So Jesus, that's where we got it, from the Bible. So watch what happens right in the center there. So John chapter 16, did anyone get that? Who won the race? Brigida in the front row. She's keener. You know, she's right in there. So John chapter 16, verse 33 says this, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Thank you, God. I like that part. In this world you will have trouble. I don't like that part. Can we take that part out? In this world, maybe, you might. No, you will. Aye. What? No, I don't want amen. You will have trouble. I don't want that trouble part. But take heart, I've overcome the world. I like that part. You're going to have trouble. It's a guarantee. In this sinful, fallen, broken world, since Adam and Eve have been ejected from the garden, it's a broken, troubled world. And it will never be restored until Jesus comes a second time and he makes everything perfect again. So between then and wherever we sit till Jesus returns, we're going to have troubles. And what do we do with troubles? How do we respond? How do we act when we're faced with troubles? Last Sunday, I had the privilege of going down to Kitimat and hanging out with the church there, and Blake, Pastor Blake, and Ashley, they were on holidays. I'm sure you've seen their photos on Facebook. Their summer really hot, and he's got his big beard and his hat on still. I thought, what are you doing? It's hot out. You got to take that stuff off. And they're relaxing. They're having a wonderful time. The pastor's from Kitimat. So they asked me, as they were on holidays, if I would go and speak with them. So we did that. We had a wonderful time. I have to be honest with you. I'm just happy to be home. You know, I'm happy to be back in my own church. It was fun down there, but I like it here. So thank you so much for praying for me. I just felt so blessed. I felt so at peace when we went down there, and we were just connected with the church, and we said, hey, we're working with Blake, and we're working with Aaron and Rebecca from Prince Rupert, the three of us. We're meeting together. We're praying together, and they were just encouraged. They said, we haven't heard that in a long time, unity and prayer and just seeking God to see what he wants to do. So we did that. The one verse that I shared with them, I just really wanted to launch out of this morning. I gave them the verse here, and it's in Numbers chapter 11, verse 17. And I'll explain it to you after I read it. It says, I will come down and speak with you there, and I will take of the spirit that is on you and put the spirit on them. They will help you carry the burden of the people so that you will not have to carry it alone. At this point, Moses is in charge of the Israelite people. He's in charge of God's people, and it's troubling him. He's not sure what to do, and God looks at that situation in the trouble that he's facing, and he says, you know what I'm going to do? Because we don't often read about the Spirit of God in the Old Testament. He just shows up on different scenes, and God says, I'm going to take the Spirit that's on you, Moses, and I'm going to share it with other people. And I said, yes, thank you, God. We need that kind of stuff in our churches. So I encouraged the church at Kitimat. I said, you got to get ready spiritually, because you don't have to do evangelism, because people are moving. Flocks and flocks of people are called. God thought, where am I going to put the most natural resources in the ground? I'm going to pick the beautiful place of Kitimat and jam it right there, and you get to be a part of it, the people of Kitimat. You get to be a part. People are naturally moving to Kitimat now. We all know that. I didn't move here for that reason. I just want that to be clear. But you know, they're all coming that way. And what are they going to find when they get there? Are they going to find spirituality? Are they going to find good soil? Are they going to find a good, healthy church? You got to get right, people. I just really was challenging them. I was speaking right into their lives. Because the Spirit of God is what's going to change every situation. So if we back up just a couple verses, this is what Moses said and what led to the verse that I just read. Moses heard the people in verse 10 of every family wailing, crying, each at the entrance of his tent. The Lord became exceedingly angry, and Moses was troubled by it. He was troubled. He said, God, you're calling me to lead these people. They're all crying and wailing and complaining. And he asked the Lord, why have you brought this trouble? Why have you brought this trouble on your servant? And isn't this our response? I'm reading me right here. What have I done to displease you that you would put this burden on all these people, all this burden on me? What's all this trouble for? I don't get it. It doesn't make sense. So we have these kind of questions. And Moses is speaking here of somebody that's in leadership. Moses is in leadership over all of these people. And what does God do in his response? You know, sometimes we have all these questions for God, don't we? I question this and I question that. And God's response is so different than the answer I wanted to hear. God, there's this trouble in my life. I'm going to take the spirit that's on you and I'm going to put it on other people so that we can carry the burden together. That's what it's about. So as a church here this morning, the Spirit of God is here and it's heavy and it's thick. And it's for all of us, for each one of us. Praise the Lord. When we face trouble, the Spirit of God is there to comfort us. That's point number one. So when we face trouble, where are we going to turn? I have two slides this morning of a tree. Now, I did share this with you once before, but it resonates in my mind so well. This tree lives in the Yukon. It's at the camp where I used to attend, and it's 80 to 100 years old. It gets so cold in the winter, obviously it can't grow. It only has a short growing season in the summer. So for this tree to get that big, it took a very long time. And that's why so many, you know, trees, or there's only tundra too far north, because a tree can't grow. It doesn't have enough time to grow. So here's the second picture of my, like, fingernail to show you that little stub right there, that's how much it grows every year. It's a very, very small amount. But it is growing. It grows very slow, but it is going in a direction. And I feel like when we follow Christ, it's similar to that. That we grow in small ways, but we're growing towards him. Because this is not a sprint. This is a marathon. This is your life. Get saved, get baptized, all that kind of stuff. But don't run so quickly ahead of God. Take it slowly every day, every situation. Face it and face the Lord as you do that. So when I think about the cross this morning, and I think about as we move closer towards the cross, there's only one direction we need to go in. There's one way to get to Christ. There's one plan that God has for your life. And every other direction is not good. Every other direction would lead you into darkness. There's only one light, and there's only one way to get there. And oftentimes, it's small steps as we get closer to Christ. And the great thing is that because it's a small step, if you do make a bit of a mistake and you're like off a little bit, it's just an instant correction to get going again. If you're just so far from God and you've run the other way, then it's always about turning your back or turning back to God, right? We got to turn back to God. We got to get right. We got to get back on the right track. The scripture that speaks so well about that is that in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, and you know what this says. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. So again, as we look to God, the road is narrow and it is straight. And every other way, every other thought, every other idea that's outside of God, every other thing that's contrary to God is a different road. And there's lots of roads, and it's super broad. It gets confusing sometimes. People spout all kinds of ideas and thoughts about the Word of God. But there's only one truth. Every time you open up the Scriptures, there's a truth that God wrote these words for that He's trying to teach you. And anything else that's outside of that, any other kind of like, oh, it kind of sounds like this, or maybe it's like, that's contrary to God. And it will lead you down wrong paths. And that's why people can just take a Scripture and twist it in a way that becomes confusing to us. And they try and say, oh, it's contrary, or it's confusing the Bible. No. There's one truth. It said that for this reason. The truth about that Scripture is for this reason. And it brings you in a direction. Because if it brings you anywhere else besides close to God, that you're not speaking truth. It's confusing. You waste your time. You spin your wheels. I got more questions than I have answers. Then you're not looking at truth. We have to find the road to God. There's only one way to God. And God has all the answers. And it is majestic and wonderful, the Word of God, when truth is spoken, when truth comes out. It changes us from the inside. Because when we come here in the morning, do we know God here? Do I know God in my heart? I know God. I've sensed God. I've experienced God. Or do I know God here? I know about God. I know about His ways. Or have I had an experience with God? Because God is a personal God. He's an individual God for you and I. And He wants to meet with you and talk with you. So when we find that we're tested and we face hard times, that there's only one way to go. Every other way is going to lead us into darkness. Every other way is going to lead us into tough times, into negative thinking. We got to stay focused. This book that I'm reading currently right now, so John Ortberg, and I have a slide for this. The book is called Eternity is Now in Session. He's speaking about, let's not wait for eternity like, bing, you know, I got the get out of jail free card, I'm going to heaven, praise God. But he's saying, live it today. Live like you're, you know, that you're saved and you're in eternity today. Live it now. Don't wait. And his statement here is, we speak of the road to hell being paved with good intentions, but not with good decisions. Good decisions lead us in a way, in a narrow way, in a straight way to God. Every other road leads to darkness again. There's only one light. We got to find the light. Just jumping out a couple more verses in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 and 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Is a question. Because you can perform and look good and have it all together up here and kind of show up and put on a suit and be okay. But at the end of the day, am I doing the will of my Father? Then I will tell them plainly, I never want to hear this. I never knew you, away from me. And just God just pushes a little bit deeper, you evildoers. Ouch, ouch, ouch. But those are when we're going down the path of destruction. God needs to correct us. He needs to point it out. Look it. That's not healthy. You got to get back. We got to get straight again, straight to Christ. Where's the truth? What are we going after? What are we focusing on? There's only one truth again. Probably not the response that you would ever want to hear from God. Away from me. Ouch. What would we want to hear? Let's look at, we got some great scriptures to back that one up. What would we want to hear? So Matthew chapter 25, verse 21. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. With an exclamation point. He's yelling it. You've been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share the master's happiness. Share in the house of God. And do you see this? In charge of many things. You were faithful with $1 billion. You were faithful with the enterprise. You know, you were faithful. No, you were faithful with a few things, just a few of them. Think about a servant. A servant does what? He does a lot of small things. He does a lot of a few things. But if you get those little things, like the tree going in the right direction, God says, bless you. Because you're a servant. Not because, you know, well done, good and faithful leader. Good and faithful parent, worker, doer. Whatever you want to put after that. Whatever we kind of get our eyes on sometimes. But good and faithful servant. We serve a living God. And when we see God and we know God inside of our heart, it brings us low. It brings us to our knees. We want to serve God with our lives because we get to know him. So, recapping points 1 and 2. Moses was in trouble, and God said, what did God say? I love it how God didn't say, oh, you're right. Oh, yeah, those million people, I get it. Yeah, they're complaining to me. I understand. He just said, see that spirit of God that's on you? I'm going to give it to all people. That's what God said. Whoa. He's got an answer for that situation. When we're in trouble, we choose the narrow road. We choose the road that leads to Christ. Now, I just thought for fun, as a third point here, what troubles our God? What troubles Jesus? And my first reaction, because I felt this way for years. For the first 23 years of my life, every time I made a mistake, I felt like God hated me. I felt like God was mad at me. I felt like I had failed God. And I thought, let's see if I can find that scripturally to back that up. And these are one of the roads that I'm talking about that are broad. Because that is not truth. That is the enemy sharing ideas in my head. And those are roads that lead to destruction. What you do find in the Bible is this wonderful story. I got two of them. There are so many, but just for time's sake, we're only going to look at a couple of them. John chapter 13, verse 21. And in John chapter 13, verse 21, Jesus had just washed his disciples' feet, you know, as a servant would. Jesus predicts that he's going to be betrayed. And I'm assuming as Jesus was thinking about being betrayed by somebody, he makes this statement. After he had said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, I tell you the truth, one of you is going to betray me. What he did not say was, hey, one of you is going to betray me, you sinful, dirty, low down, I hate you. He said that he was troubled in his spirit. He was so excited that as he had loved people, he loved his disciples, he had loved 12 of them or so, that 11 of them got it. 11 of them, I get it. And one didn't. And Jesus was troubled by that. He was stirred up that one wasn't going to make it. And he spoke out, even said, you're gonna betray me. Just think about it one more time. He gave him another opportunity. He gave Judas another opportunity. He never just kind of kicked. Jesus is out of this discipleship program. He's no good, right? We know how it's going to turn out. He's taking money out of the offering plate. You know, we don't want this guy a part of our team. But Jesus, he kept inviting him, inviting Judas. I know you're all messed up. Please come to me. And he gets so troubled. He's troubled. Jesus is troubled by that. Because he wants him to come to faith. He wants everybody to come, you know, with their knees bowed. He wants everybody. He gives everyone a second, a 77th chance, just an infinite amount of chances to get to know him. It's the same way that you and I, when our kids maybe disown us. You know, for years and years and years, you change their diapers and you put up with it and you all this stuff and you gave them your dessert because you know, there's only one piece left and all that stuff for years. And then when they turn their backs on you, that troubles us, doesn't it? And I pray that it would because we've got to make sure we have a heart. But when our kids go away, it troubles us. And it's the same heart of God that God says, when one of my people turn away, it troubles me because I love every person. There isn't like you can do anything to offend God that would say God's like, done with you now. Check out. That was the last straw. Like God never has those kind of thoughts. He is burdened for people. Second thought about that. Flip back a couple chapters. John chapter 11, verse 33. When Jesus saw her weeping, this is speaking of Mary. Her brother Lazarus had just died, and he was put into a tomb, and Jesus shows up late to the scene. Jesus saw Mary weeping. and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping. He was deeply moved in spirit, and he was troubled. Why again was he troubled? He wasn't troubled that Lazarus was dead. He was going to go resurrect him, no problem. But he was troubled by the feeling and the emotion that these people had for the loss of their brother. And Jesus can understand that. Jesus walked this earth so that he could understand everything that you and I face. So in that deep, deep loss, he also was troubled with the people as well. So we see the heart of Jesus. Our sin doesn't trouble Jesus. People that are far from him trouble Jesus. There will be times when we don't understand God, times when we're willing to lay down our lives for the sake of the gospel, and there'll be times when we don't understand and we question God. There are times when I feel like I'm just on fire, man. I'm invincible. I just feel like everything's awesome. Everything's perfect. Oh, I can raise my hands. I can, like, raise both hands for crying out loud. You have both hands up there, and you just feel like you're super generous. You've got a great attitude. And there are seasons in my life where I'm like, geez, I don't know if I want to get out of bed today. You know, there's just some tough things in life, right? And usually they come out of left field. You don't see them coming, right? You're like on top of the world, and all of a sudden you're like, and you go down, right? And just like, so you got people around us that encourage us and love on us and pray for us. But in those moments, when we feel maybe down or we feel like we're in a tough season, watch what God says about that. In John chapter 14, the book of John is amazing. We're just hanging out here all day today. It's a great book. John chapter 14, verse 38. Let's start with Jesus is saying, I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be executed. People are going to be scattered. And Peter responds this way. And Peter says, I will follow you with my life. I will lay down my life for you, Jesus. And Jesus turns to him and says this, John chapter 14, verse 38. Then Jesus answered, you will really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth. Oh, there's the truth. Ouch. I tell you the truth. You're like, well, maybe I don't want to hear truth today, actually. I'm okay over here. Maybe we can just end on that last statement I had because all the other disciples heard it. I will lay down my life for you. You know, I'm on your team. We get it. You know, high fives. But then it says, I tell you the truth. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me. And I just like how he just puts like just a little bit on there. Three times. Like not just once or twice or... You're like, God, just one. You know, I get it. Maybe one, but three? Like, come on. You're embarrassing me in front of the guys here. And there's an exclamation point. You're going to deny me three times. Just so we all heard that, right? So, and Peter's probably like, now he's getting low. Like, oh, I didn't mean to say that. But the wonderful thing is when the truth convicts us and Jesus points something out in your life and he says, look, you're not following my ways anymore. You're off track right now. Watch how Jesus corrects us. Watch how our loving God responds to us. In the very next verse, I feel like I wrote it down wrong. It's John chapter 13. I think somebody said that. Am I wrong there? John 13, verse 38. So now we're in John 14. I did that last time in Kidamet. I wrote down the wrong verse. You guys are probably like, you're just making that up. That's Rob chapter 3, you know, verse whatever. But in John chapter 14, verse 1, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Trust in Jesus. Jesus has just rebuked Peter. He probably feels troubled in his heart. I would, for crying out loud. God says, you're going to disown me. I don't want that. And God says, in your trouble, trust me. Believe in me. Have faith in me. Keep following me. You're going to make mistakes, but along the way, I'm right there. I'm going to pick you up. I'm going to give you the Spirit. We're going to get going again. Thank you, God. I honestly would probably quit the ministry if this book talked in a way that was like most of my adult life, how I felt and how I felt I was treated. When I made a mistake, it was like, you suck. You're an idiot. There's no way you're ever going to achieve, do anything. If I read that kind of stuff in this book about my God, I would not do this job. But I cannot find that scripture. There is no truth to what I just said. The only truth that's in this book is about I love you. I believe in you. There's a path for your life. And I laid it out for you in the foundation of the beginning of the world. I poured it out for you. please follow it. It's the best thing for you. Praise God that it's there. Yes, amen. I want to share just a story with you, because stories are fun, aren't they? Because I embarrass myself and you guys have a good laugh. It's usually how it works out. But maybe somebody else wants to join my camp here this morning. And have you got it wrong more times in life than you've got it right? There's a couple of us, eh? Now, next Sunday, for those of you that didn't raise my hand or your hand, I'm speaking on honesty. Just want to make sure we got that because we're going to be praying for you. But a true story, because it was my life, and I was there. So I'm going to read it here so I don't go off track. 2000, in the year 2000, I lived in Nanaimo on Vancouver Island, and I was working for Walmart, and I was transferred to North Vancouver. And I want you to know that was a blessing because I met Omley in North Vancouver. So yes, yo, absolutely. Huge win right there, Bing. So I was an assistant manager at the time, and I honestly don't know back then, too. I was like 20 years old, and they gave me keys to a $1 million corporation, said, please run the store. I was like, as a kid, I'm like, this is crazy. So we had some fun for a lot of years. I was climbing the ladder of success as probably any young person would. They're like, I think I could run this place, usually as young people, right? We know it all, and we think we can do better than those above us. And so I was climbing the ladder of success. And when I moved over from Nanaimo to North Vancouver, the pastor in Nanaimo knew a pastor in North Vancouver. So I said, which church should I attend? And he said, well, there's these great pastors, Owen and Val Scott, at Lynn Valley Full Gospel Church. And again, that's where Omley had attended for close to 15 years. So because of my pastor speaking to just go attend this church, I found her. My pastor is prophetic, man. It was amazing. So I'm not saying I can speak that in anybody's life or relationship, but anyways. So it was my second church. So I really got saved in Nanaimo. I got baptized. I got, you know, born again, got filled with the Spirit, moved over to North Vancouver. And so it was my second church. I thought, oh, I'm just going to really get involved and get you know, do a good job here, become a member, all that kind of fun stuff. And one day at work, as I was climbing the ladder of success, I finally got an interview with the district manager. And I was just like I wasn't really trying to promote myself. I let my actions promote me. I let my work promote me. But he had taken notice of it. And he said, we're going to meet for lunch this week. And I was like, uh-huh. You know, as any young kid would be like, oh, my gosh, this is going to be so intense. So we went to meet for lunch that week. You know, something I've been working so hard for most of my life. And I'm going to get a little transparent here. Like, I felt like I'd never succeeded. I felt like, you know, my dad abandoned me when I was born. My biological father left. I just felt like I'd never, you know, hit a home run in anything. It just felt like a failure. And I thought, this is the moment, right? Worked my butt off for this moment. And we're going to have this interview. And what I failed to tell you to this point, though, is that our church in Lynn Valley at that time, North Vancouver, we supported a missionary. And I attended a young adults Bible study, and we thought, you know, we looked around the room, we thought, what could we do to support this missionary? Obviously, we can help out financially, but let's, as a young adults group, let's pray and let's fast all week for every lunch. We're not gonna eat lunch. We're going to pray and we're going to fast. And of course, I said yes to the interview, and then we're going to the restaurant. I'm like, oh my word, I can't even eat lunch. So we sit down at the table, you know, the waitress brings over the menu, and like, I don't know how long I just looked over the menu, and I'm like, he's like, have you figured it out? I'm like, you know, I didn't know what to say. He goes, part of me felt like I made a commitment. How am I going to say that? I'm going to lose everything I've worked for if I tell him the truth. And part of me honestly felt 50-50, probably, you know, guy on each shoulder, right, as the cartoons do it. Part of me felt like, they'll just understand. My young adults, they'll understand for this job position. I had to just put that to rest. I had to eat lunch because we had to, you know, this is my career. Career's more important, right? Right. So I was wrestling with this. I was sweating, I'm sure, and just like freaking out. And I it was the Spirit of God showed up in my life. There's a few times I've gotten it right, and I got it right this time. I put the menu down. I just looked him in the eyes. I said, look, I go to this church, and we support this missionary. I give him the whole story. He said, you know what? I respect that. I don't understand all that church stuff, but I respect that you're doing this. It shows character. And I like people with character. And I was promoted that day. Wow. Amen. Now that's a bit of a big step in life, but those kind of moments you're facing every day. And how are we responding as the church? There is one way and there's one truth. And sometimes that's radically contrary to the things and the situations that you and I face. I was given the privilege just recently with Amelie. We went into the school, and we like meeting with teachers. And I'm going to say that because my kids are sitting right here. They might get scared. We just like meeting with them, whether they're doing good or bad. And I'm just saying, they're doing good. They're okay. So that's not what we're talking about here this morning. But we just like to meet with the teachers because they get them for 8 hours. They get my kids. I'm thinking, I'm jealous of you. You get my kid for 8 hours. So we like to just kind of shoot the breeze and hang out with them. So we talk about whatever. And at the end, we always go here. I always say, how is my son or my daughter treating you as a teacher? I want to know how they are. They respectful? Because we have high morals and values as a family. And I don't tell them I'm Christian or I'm a pastor. I'm just saying we have high morals and values. And how they treat you here for 8 hours is very important to me. And often the teachers say, thank you, because nobody is doing that. Most people come in here and light me up and yell at me and say, my kid's got to get a better grade. You're a bad teacher. So in moments like this, I want to release you as the body of Christ to go and do those kind of things. Have a different agenda when you go into meetings. Think outside of the box. Think, okay, we have an agenda here. Let's go through it. But go a step further and say, okay, agenda done. Now I'd like to say something. Be the living example that people are not seeing in our community in those moments. Those are the small things that lead us to truth, that lead us to Christ, that will lead other people to Christ as you be a good, godly example for other people. Last scripture this morning, John chapter 14. We're still in John. This is fun. John chapter 14, verse 25 to 27. Jesus is promising something to us. He's promising the Holy Spirit. It says this, all this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace. The peace. When Jesus left, he said, something's coming. I need peace. I'm assuming you might need some of that too. My peace, I give it to you. No strings attached. So good. I do not give you as the world gives. Just stop right there for a second. There is nothing in this world that can give you the feeling and satisfaction and peace that God can give you. Can I be honest with you? I've tried a lot of things. I've tried almost everything in this world for 23 years. It doesn't even come close to the same radar as we talk about here. The only reason I have joy and peace in my heart is because of God. It's because of Jesus Christ. Because of these kind of scriptures. So when we're feeling like this, don't let your hearts be troubled and don't be afraid. Because I'm giving you something that you can't pay for, that you can't find, that there's nowhere else on the planet to go, it's in me. It's an inner peace. It's not a superficial peace. I feel good today. You know, but inside you're dying. This is an inner peace. It's an inner truth. It just, you can rest. You can sleep well at night because you're not troubled and afraid. That's the kind of God that we serve. Hallelujah. What a good God. So do the things of this world that are contrary to the word of God, do they trouble us? When we see things that are going on inside, we should feel like, I can't have peace in that situation. I want to pray about it. I want to be burdened for it, just like Jesus was. And will it move you in the spirit? Will it move you to to Christ? Will it move you along away, the things that you're facing and the troubles that you're going through? So again, do not let your hearts be troubled, and don't be afraid, because we serve a big God, we serve a living God, we serve a truthful God, we serve a God that's just is giving you free gifts. He wants to give you the Spirit. Amen? Amen. Let's stand this morning. Let's have the worship team come to the front. I'm just going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes this morning. We're just going to spend a few moments in prayer this morning. Just before I even say anything, just again, eyes closed. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? What has He said to you this morning through His Word? Happened in the service. Todd and I didn't even talk about my message, and the songs that he selected were right in line. I'm assuming you probably sensed that. But it wasn't a strategic, you know, we didn't meet and plan that. God orchestrated that. And I felt this morning, honestly, when I was speaking, there, you know, lots of times, I've almost been here for a year. There's been a few times, though. It was the very first Sunday, remember? October 21st. You asked me to come and be your pastor. And I spoke a message. I felt like it was a good message. I put the message down. I said I did what God asked me to do, but now I want to do something. And we had an altar call because I just felt like there needed to be a release in the Spirit, a breaking of whatever was going on. And I was being interviewed for crying out loud. I felt so uncomfortable. But God wanted to do something. And then this morning, I feel that same weight or that same spirit right now, that as I was sharing, whatever's going on inside of you, you've got to let it go. You're troubled and you're afraid, and you got to let God come in. He's the peace that you need. You don't need my voice or you know, some nice new chairs. You need the Holy Spirit. We have to be Spirit-led. We're not entertainers. We're not performers. We're spiritual beings. And you need the Holy Spirit. So this morning, I just want to pray that over you right now. So Father, we just pray a fresh anointing of your Spirit here, Father. God, as you said, you would take the Spirit that's on Moses and you would pour it out on all people. Would you pour it out on us? God, we need you, Father. Desperately need you. Father, we just pray against any lying spirit right now in Jesus' name. We bind you up. You're not welcome here. This is a spiritual house where only God is welcome, only God's Spirit, only the truth of God's Word will be spoken here in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Receive it today. Receive it this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.